Praise the Lord, young lady. Appreciate that. Thank you so much for singing for us. And I appreciate your using your talents and abilities for the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning and find Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Hello to everybody who's watching on live stream. And trust you're getting a blessing from the service. And especially a shout out to our daughter and granddaughter who are home from church today because Elsa's not feeling well, so she's home, and they're watching. Hopefully Elsa's watching her grandfather on church this morning. Amen? Somehow I have a feeling she's dancing around the house, but other than that, maybe my daughter's watching. That'll be a blessing. Acts chapter number 1. We have a lot to say. We have a lot to do today, and again, we encourage you to stay after services. You know, people will be eating. They will be milling around. And I realize the mask things, it may be difficult for people. You can't eat and have a mask on. This is not California where we want you to take a bite, put the mask on. It is what it is. So that bothers you. I understand that. I do get it. And but people may not be having their masks on at times. Or the kids won't be. They'll be running around crazy. So it is what it is. So, again, you're afraid, you're worried. I understand if you have to leave, but just letting you know the precautions of people eating, taking photographs out back. You don't want to take a photograph. At least one thing, 30 years from now, when they look at old photographs, oh, that was 2020. How do you know? It's not even wearing a mask. You know, just know. It's, you know, we have no trouble figuring out what year it was. But it just is what it is. We're dealing with it and the best we can. And do take as many precautions as we can, but we do have to live and go about our lives, and we can't prevent everything in life. In Acts chapter number 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to go back to heaven. He's ready for the ascension. He's giving his disciples some last parting words. And we spent some time a few weeks ago looking at this portion of Scripture and seeing the command that was given by our Savior. And he says in verse number 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Whence then they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, bless this time, bless this hour now. Speak to our hearts through your word. May Christ be honored and glorified. Lord, we are needy people, and we are living in strange days and fearful days and days of social upheavals and But dear God, as your people, we are to be consistent. We are to be the same. Let our message not change because of the days. Men are lost. Men are sinners. Men are dying and going to hell, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. May Christ be seen in us. May we share Christ with the burden and power that our Savior had. I pray, Lord, for this day and this hour, help these people who have gathered together in this place this morning. I pray, dear God, that we will not leave this place discouraged, but we will go away challenged to draw closer to you. If anybody walked in this day, Lord, not knowing Christ, not sure of salvation, not sure of heaven, Lord, help them this day, dear God, to get that issue settled and to be born again by your Spirit. Bless now, we pray, in this time. In Christ's name, amen. The last point of the last message we had was the idea of wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard. The disciples have trained with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. They have studied with him. They have walked with him. They've watched him. They've learned from him. They've performed miracles. They have preached. They've gone soul winning. They've done so much in this time of 3 years. And now the Lord is getting ready to depart, and surely they are ready to go out and do the job that they have been trained to do. But at this point, we see he tells them to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, in your Bible, as you study, especially everybody's favorite book in the Bible is the book of Leviticus. Everybody just loves that book. It just thrills your soul as you go through your Bible from Genesis, and you're enjoying Genesis, and Exodus bogs down a little bit. Then you hit Leviticus, and you're like, what in the world is this book all about? And that's where most people quit and go home. It's kind of like my book. Amen? Just kept this one's inspired by God. Leviticus is very important in your Bible because it does show you several things that are important, especially the feast days are laid out for you. And there are seven feast days in your scripture that tie in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is a picture of the work of Jesus Christ. All those feast days picture something Christ is going to do or something that God is promising he's going to do. You have the Feast of Passover, which is the killing of the lamb, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sacrificial lamb. His blood was shed for us so that we might have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of heaven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You cannot approach God through any shape, form, or merit unless you come through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that can cleanse your sin, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Not water, not church membership, not good works, not good deeds, not your good righteousness, my friend, because you have no righteousness to offer Almighty God. You must come through the blood of Christ, and that's the only thing God accepts. After the Passover, there was the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of First Fruits would take place the first Sunday after the Passover. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the Feast of First. He's the first one coming from the dead. And then you have another feast day, which is called the Feast of Passover, Pentecost. Pentecost would take place 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. These are holy days. Now, this Feast of Pentecost is a time where they are, we know it to be the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. And it has the name, if you ever study Jewish theology and you listen to Jewish people talking, they have different names for it, but it is the name Shavat. Shavat is the name they will use for you. You hang around Jewish people and go into Jewish communities, they'll celebrate the Shavat. They are celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. There's the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, and then there is the latter First Fruits. And again, these days are very important. They all signify something, which we don't have time for today. Now, Shavuot is traditionally a joyous time of giving, a time of giving thanks, and presenting offerings for the new grain of the summer harvest, which took place in Israel. So it was a time of celebration of the new harvest. Now, we know that in the Bible, in the New Testament, it is the representative of the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's quite a mistake in understanding the Holy Spirit of God, which is what we're going to try and talk about just a little bit today. There's no way in the next 40 minutes we can even possibly cover the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It's too vast, too important. And some people are under the impression that the Holy Spirit of God shows up, first of all, at the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he's baptized, the Holy Spirit come down like a dove and ascends upon him. I think that's when the Holy Spirit of God shows up. And then there's the idea that the Holy Spirit shows up at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, when the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit of God and go forth from there presenting the gospel. And they think that is the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. But as Christians, as Bible believers, we believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. One God and three personalities revealed in that Godhead. The Holy Spirit of God is evident in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 2. We see the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit of God is working right there in creation. And the Holy Spirit of God is evident all throughout the entire Old Testament. The Spirit of God came upon men and women as they moved and did the work of God in the Old Testament. Samson is one. The Spirit of God moved upon Samson, which gave him his great strength. Samson's hair did not give him strength, okay? But that hair was a token of his promise to God. When he cut his hair, he violated the last three of his promises. He was not allowed to touch a dead body. He broke that promise by touching the lion. He was not allowed to eat anything that came from the grapes. And he obviously had broken that, because where did he kill the lion, by the way? In the vineyard. And so his third promise that he kept up to when he met Delilah was the promise of not to cut any of the hairs of his head. And when he broke that promise to God and told his secret to Delilah, he became weak. But again, his hair was not the strength. The Spirit of God was his strength because he kept his vow to God. The Spirit of God moved many places in the Old Testament. We see his ministry more clearly in the New Testament as we are presented more clearly with the ministry of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person in the Godhead, the Son. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. Everything that our Savior did, we are to follow suit on. And you say, I can't do anything Jesus did because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, our Savior, did not do anything in and of his own power. Everything Christ did through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. He was surrendered to God, and as a man, the God-man, that part of him that was man, did everything through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want us to look at some things this morning very quickly in our Bible. Look, if you will, at Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. And we'll see what the Bible has to say there about our Lord. Now, he's already in heaven. The disciples are preaching, going about the ministry, doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. And in Acts chapter number 10, Peter's preaching to Cornelius, an Italian fellow. And he's hanging out down at his house. And no doubt eating a chicken parmesan sandwich or something like that, having a good time and enjoying life. And in Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38, he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Our Lord was anointed with the Holy Spirit of God at his baptism for the purpose of to do what had power upon him. Power to do the work of God. Christ is our example. And my friend, we all need power to do the work of Almighty God. Now, you ever drive down the highway? Sometimes you get stuck behind some truck and you're looking to go around that truck. Now, that truck is doing the best it can. It may be an 18-wheeler. It's hauling a heavy load and it's struggling to get down the road, but it has power. That truck has more power than your car does because that truck has power to haul all kinds of material. It's a powerful truck, but it just doesn't have the power to go as fast as you may want to do it. So you skirt around that thing, and don't be stupid around tractor trailers. It's never good to be stupid around them. You will lose every single time. Always be careful and be courteous to truck drivers. They cannot stop on a dime. But that truck has power, my friend, to haul that heavy load. Your car has power to hit the gas pedal and get up and go and move out real quickly. Either I'm driving the church van or I'm driving my car. They are not powerful vehicles. I tell folks that the church van can go 0 to 60 in 3.25 minutes. And I'd say, understand that it does take some time to get up speed. Other people, I was sitting one day going down the highway, and I saw a Corvette, a brand new one, going there. He was in the right-hand lane doing 55. I thought, if that boy just popped that gas pedal, he'd be gone, just gone. And here I am passing him doing 65 in my old Crown Victoria. But if he wanted to, he can just blow my doors off, and then circle back around again three times before I can get 1 mile down the road with the powerful car that he had. Now, my friend, you have your vehicle. When you're young, you think you're strong. If you want to see how strong young men are, just put a bunch of single girls around them, and guys will try to impress the crowd with their feats of strength every single time, amen? And try to impress them. Now, I won't pick out any young men here, but they will try and do that. And it's just like them bucks out there in the woods. All of a sudden, they get in the rut, and next thing you know, they're cranking horns with all the other deer that comes near them trying to impress all the does in the woods. Doesn't change. Human or four-legged, every man gets stupid when you put a good-looking girl around them trying to impress them. My friend, the power we need for the ministry is not in our brain power, not in our vocal abilities, but we need the Holy Spirit of God and his power upon us to do the work that God has called us to do. That is the power you need. And my friend, it is not just for preachers. It is not just for Sunday school teachers or song people. It is for every Christian. Every child of God needs to have the power of God upon him. And what exactly is the power of God that we are referring to? What exactly is going on with that power? Now, understand this promise, he says in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 4, he says, wait for the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is going to come. Now, the Holy Spirit of God already indwells believers. When you get born again by the Spirit of God, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, you are sealed, according to Ephesians chapter number 4. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God of promise. And he has sealed you, and he has secured you, and you are saved by the grace of Almighty God. You are sealed. You have him living within you. But what, my friend, you need is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Look at John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14 in your Bible. John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14 and verse number 16. Remember, this is these chapters, 14, 15, and 16, are taking place in the upper room. The Lord Jesus Christ is meeting with his disciples. He's going to be arrested in a few hours, and he's going to be taken away from them. And so he is giving them last-minute instructions. He's giving them last-minute comfort. He's giving them last-minute encouragement on the work of the ministry. He says in chapter 14, verse number 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that may abide with you forever. Now, they had Jesus Christ as their comforter, but he's leaving, so they're going to be giving another comforter that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. I like that word, forever. How long does that word forever mean? Well, I'm no theologian, but I think forever means a long, long, long time. Amen. I like that. It means he's not going, even in eternity. He's not leaving me. I like that. I'm not going to be wandering around heaven all by myself. I still have the Holy Spirit of God with me. He's forever. Look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Again, there's the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to teach them. He's going to show you things. The best teacher you have is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God gave us pastors and God gave us teachers. Those are for our edification and for our learning. We need pastors and teachers. Those are gifts to the church. But, my friend, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, and what you need to do is learn to communicate with him and ask him to help you and show you things as you study the Scriptures. When you open your Bible, just don't open and say, well, here I go. I hope I learned something. No, you need to bow your head and say, dear God, Holy Spirit of God, help me to understand your Bible today. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Show me truth today. Give me ears to hear and give me eyes to see what you, the blessed Spirit of God, has to say. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Look at chapter number 15. In chapter number 15, our Lord talks an awful lot about the Holy Spirit of God in his last departure, which means it must be important. Verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Don't forget, he is the Comforter, he's the Holy Ghost, he's the Holy Spirit, but he's also called the Spirit of truth. He cannot tell you a lie. He will not tell you a lie. Be careful with that, because sometimes, you know, I tell the story all the time because it baffled my mind. Lady, how come you haven't been to church in a month? Where you've been? How come you haven't been to church? Well, I've been very nervous lately, and the Holy Spirit of God told me to stay home. You're too nervous. That's right here in the Bible. Chapter number, in the book of Second Confusions, chapter number 14, it says right here, if you're nervous, just stay home. Just stay. It's right there. No, my Bible says, forsake not the assembling. When you're nervous, you know what you should do? You go to church. When you're anxious, you know what you should do? You go to church. When you're scared, you know what you do? You go to church. When you're happy, you know what you do? You go to church. When you're worried and burdened down with all kinds of problems, you know what you do? You go to church. Why? Because that's where God wants you to be. That's where the Holy Spirit of God is going to be. The Holy Spirit of God, no, you stay home. Watch TV. That'll calm you down. I don't know. Watching TV aggravates me today. I don't know what to watch anymore. I record Twilight Zone episodes. I just watch them crazy things because I watch the news, I get aggravated. I can't watch the sports anymore. They aggravate me. When you root for the teams I root for, they really aggravate you. I get aggravated. I don't need aggravation. I got enough problems in life. So I go to church. I like going to church. I like being around God's people. I like seeing God's people. We're going to have fun today. We're going to be food today. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. There's preaching. There's singing. We got an ugly pumpkin. It's a wonderful day. It's the Holy Spirit of God. We need. He's the Spirit of truth. Not half truth. Not somewhat truth. Not, well, listen, I'm going to tell you just a little bit of truth here. The rest are going to be a back of lies. No, that's the truth. What is this book, my friend? Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse number 10, thy word is truth. Well, what is truth? That's Pontius Pilate asked that question. Why are you getting your tips from Pontius Pilate? Jesus said, this word is truth. You can believe the book. Always believe the book. The Holy Spirit of truth. We continue back there in chapter 15, verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which shall proceed from the Father, he shall testify of me. By the way, the job of the Holy Spirit of God is to talk about Jesus, not about you. It's not about these. We don't sing the songs with your names in them or my name. This isn't about me here. This isn't the Matt Swykowski show. This is all about Jesus Christ. We're to testify of Jesus Christ. We sing how great thou art, not how great I am. It's how great thou art we sing about. And he testifies to me. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit of God is to testify of Jesus Christ. There's nothing to talk about when it comes to you and I. We're just a bag of dust. We're just an old sinful bag of dirt. And the Bible says, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Why in the world am I going to talk about no good thing? Anything I am, anything I have become, anything I ever hope to be, I owe to the grace of Almighty God who worked in me and through me. You read my book, by the way, it's not very flattering. I don't paint my picture as David Livingstone conquering Africa and doing great things. You read my book, it's about me losing things and missing things and needing God every step of the way. I don't paint myself in his greatest picture. You know, most people, when they, you ever take a picture of somebody that, wait a minute, let me see that picture before you post it. You can't post that one. Wow, look at me. I look a wreck in that picture. You look okay. Look, that's how you, you can't post that picture. Look at me. Look at my eyes. Yeah, you got two of them. No, look at them. I got bags under them. I'm just a wreck. My hair, what is wrong with me? Well, you have time, I'll tell you, but the picture looks fine. It's fine. Well, we got to, I'll tell my wife, she's probably listening. I got to clear it through seven sources before I can post a picture. People, how can you ever post any pictures of your wife? Listen, you know what it takes for me to get a picture of my wife on the internet? I mean, it's just, please, I have a better chance of breaking into the White House and sitting down with Donald one night, him and Melania having a cup of coffee and not being found by the Secret Service than I have a, what are you doing posting that? I do, you look pretty. No, I don't. What's wrong with you? I don't know. I don't know. So, you never post any pictures of your wife, preacher. What's the problem? There's no problems. It's just it has to go through a process. Now, me, I don't care. It's just here it is. It's what I look like, good or bad. You know, just, I'm like this. I'm married. Amen? I don't have to impress nobody anymore. Those days are done. So it's just, you know, like, I don't really care. I got a woman at home loves me. That's all that matters in life. And I'm saying, can you imagine dating against a no? No, I didn't like it when the first, when I was doing it years ago, I didn't like it. So imagine, no, no. In chapter 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. By the way, Jesus always tells the truth. Always tells the truth. Jesus also said, you know, without me you can do nothing. We need to learn that, don't we? You know, we always think, watch this, Lord. There we go. What am I supposed to be watching exactly? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go another way, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, notice this now, by the way, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's a message. That's a sermon right there that should be preached. He will reprove the world of sin. Men don't like sin. Men don't want to hear about it. God loves us all, but he hates your sin. But Jesus loves me, but Jesus hates your sin. And his job is to expose your sin, because you cannot be saved and know Christ until your sin is exposed. To realize, you have to, why do you need a Savior? Because you got a sin problem. Why should I go for chemotherapy if I don't have cancer? Make no sense. Why do I need Jesus Christ if I don't have a sin problem? You need Jesus Christ. I knew a man, seemed healthy as a horse, doing just fine. One day he fell off a little ladder, broke his leg. They went to the hospital. You got bone cancer. He was dead within a month. Didn't know he had it. It was all throughout his body. He's doing just fine until one day he just fell and snapped and, yeah, you're sick. I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do for you. Nothing. My friend, our friend Peter, 58 years old, was told he had pancreatic cancer. Less than a month later, Pete's home with the Lord. Now, if you quoted earlier, the trouble with pancreatic cancer, there's no symptoms. It really doesn't tell you. You don't get no signs. By the time it's done. It's done. My friend, men need to know they got a spiritual cancer. It's called sin. And it's going to take you straight to hell. We don't want to talk. I don't want to upset nobody. They got to get upset. The woman at the well, where's your husband? I don't have a husband. Yes, that's true, you don't. But you had five of them. And now you're shacked up with somebody right now, aren't you? I think you're a prophet. More than a prophet. Sometimes our sin button has to be hit, and the Holy Spirit of God sometimes presses that sin button. You ever go to the dentist? Does this hurt? No. Does this hurt? I told one doctor I had a toothache a few years ago. He said, I'm going to poke. I said, I know what tooth it is. It's this one. Right back there, the last one in the row. I'm going to touch. I said, you touch that thing. With that, I'm going to punch you because it hurt. I can't even touch you with my tongue, let alone that metal thing you're trying to stab at there, Dr. Mengele. Stop. Just stop. That's the tooth. You're sure? Yes. Don't poke it. I know it's a problem. Sometimes people know they got a sin problem. What they need is the remedy. And sometimes some people don't realize they got a sin problem. I'm fine. I don't sin. I've been people like that. I don't sin. I don't do anything bad. I never robbed a bank. I never killed nobody. I'm honest, but you still got a sin problem nonetheless. Then there's other people that know, I know I got a sin problem. What's the answer? He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. My friend, that's the job of the Holy Spirit of God, is to do those things. Of sin, verse number 9, because they believe not on me. Realize it's a sin not to believe on Jesus Christ. Not believing on Jesus Christ is going to drag you straight into hell. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Jesus Christ is the righteous one. The Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. He never leads you to do anything unholy. Amen. Yep. I was praying for a wife, and the Holy Spirit led me to this married woman. No. I don't doubt a spirit led you to her, but it wasn't the Holy One. All right? Of judgment, because there's judgment coming, my friend. And we don't want to admit that. There's judgment coming. He says, he goes on in these verses, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, there he calls him the Spirit of truth again, he will guide you into all truth. For he now shall speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine own, and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. The job of the Holy Spirit of God, my friend, this new ministry that is starting here, is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's one thing we can talk about the Holy Spirit of God, we can talk about his ministry. But again, everything, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. On our building here at nighttime many years ago, I was driving past the church and I said, you know what, that church is well lit up. Why is that church lit up? Where's the light? And I noticed on the poles, the light poles, there was lights shining on the church building. I said, So I called public services. How do we get one of those lights on our pole to light up our building at night? They said, well, it's not a problem. You want one, we'll put one on for a small monthly fee each month. We'll charge you, but that light pole... And so if you drive past our building at nighttime, our building is lit up because of a light that sits on the top of that pole on the corner that shines right down the building and lights the entire building up, so the whole corner is lit up. Now, my friend, when people come by, they don't say, hey, did you notice the light on the pole? No. What do you notice?
Church.
The building. And same essence, the job of the Holy Spirit of God, he shines, and we can talk about the light, and we can see the light. But the job of the light is to shine on Jesus Christ and point men to Jesus Christ, that he is there so we see him and we look to him. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We must see a crucified Savior, a buried Savior, and a resurrected Savior. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit of God to point that out to people. Now, again, we don't ignore the Holy Spirit of God. We don't act like he doesn't exist. He's there just the same. But his ministry is, I want to become a Christian so I can have the Holy Spirit of God. I don't think you really say that. You know, I want to get saved so I can have Christ and have eternal salvation and be saved. And then all this other is wonderful that is part of the perks of being saved. So there's a promise for all. Now, in John chapter number 18, The Lord Jesus Christ is arrested, and we have the disciples. Now again, 3 years of Bible college, traveling with our Lord, you would think they would be ready, but something happens in John chapter 18. There's a lot of sad chapters in the Bible. John chapter 18 is a sad, sad chapter in your Bible. We don't like this chapter. If I was writing the Bible, I wouldn't put this chapter in the Bible. Because here we see the downfall of Peter. Nobody likes the downfall of their hero. We just don't. We always want our heroes to remain the hero. We don't ever want to see them. A few years ago, I'm dating myself now. I think it was back in the early 90s, right after Bill Clinton was elected president, Superman got killed in the comic books. Anybody remember that? Superman got killed. He got killed by something. Like, how do you kill Superman? I mean, that's just pure communism. I mean, that's just, you can't kill Superman. But they killed Superman. They brought him back from the dead, but see, killing Superman, that's not what we want. We don't read about our comics. I'm not promoting comics, but you get the idea. Peter's one of those guys, we like Peter. We can identify with Peter. He says great things, he says stupid things. We all have done that, amen? When we're like, yeah, I said that. That was good. Then later on, we say something, we're trying to get it back in there, but it's going out through what a stupid thing that was. We all have done it. It's just part of being human. Best thing you can ever do when you put your foot in your mouth, the best thing you can ever do is just take your foot out of your mouth and just keep walking. You will leave a soggy footprint for a while, but eventually it will dry up. All right? Just keep walking. Don't stop. Because we all do it. All right? Your brain just quits for 5 seconds, and you're, what? I'm sorry, I'm back now. I don't know what happened there. Peter was guilty of that. That's why I like Peter. That's why I like him a lot. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. You said good. Probably look at this. I'm not going to deny you. These guys deny you. I'm not going to deny you. Yeah, really? Peter, chapter 18, Peter denies the Lord 3 times. Said, I don't like 1 Samuel chapter number 11. That chapter shouldn't be in the Bible. That's David's chapter. When he's walking on the rooftops. I don't like that chapter. Breaks my heart every time. I don't want to see David fall into sin. I don't want to see David crash and burn. No Christian should enjoy that. I don't like reading about Samson and Delilah. Just don't like that. Just as far as I was concerned, when I was a kid, he should have hit her with a jawbone while he was at it and took her out. Wicked woman. Taking out, he wasn't a prize package, but you understand when your hero's going down, you don't like it. Well, my friend Peter falls in chapter 18. 3 times he denies the Lord. I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. Even curses at the end for good measure. Now, how can Peter deny the Lord? What? Why? There's one answer. He didn't have power. He didn't have power. He didn't have the power he needed. Now, if you go in your Bible later on, you're going to see Peter preach in Acts chapter number 2, and 3,000 people get saved. Calls them murderers. You killed Jesus Christ. What's the difference? Well, chapter 18 of John, he has no power. And Acts 2 and 3 and 4 and the rest of the book, he's got power. He's got the Holy Spirit of God who enables him to preach. And so he doesn't care what people are saying. I don't like what your word. So what? He's got power. He's got power to do this. And it's not his power, it's the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of Zechariah, I won't have you turn there, but in Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so often we think we can do something. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. I'm reminiscent of Samson. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Well, I've done this before. Let me do it again. This time he's got no power. And by one of the saddest verses in the Bible, when Samson got up from his barbershop haircut, he said, you know what? I'm going to do this just like before. And the Bible says he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He was so backslidden, he didn't even know that the Spirit of God wasn't with him. And then my boyhood hero gets his eyes plucked out and ends up down in the mill grinding like an animal. No power. My friend, all of us need the Holy Spirit of God. You're going to witness for somebody. You know what you need? You need power. How do you get this power, preacher? Well, it's real complicated. I'll do my best to explain it to you real quick. All right? You ask for it. It's complex, isn't it? That's deep. I went to Bible college just to learn that. All right? You ask for it. I was at the restaurant the other day, and I was looking at the menu, and the waitress came over. She said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I have no idea. This is so complex. I don't know what to do here." "No," I said, "I'll have two eggs over easy, home fries, bacon, and rye toast, please, and a cup of coffee and a glass of water." Real simple. And she forgot the bacon, though. That's almost lost her tip on that one. But anyway, you forget bacon, we got issues. How do you get power? You ask for it. Look at Acts chapter number 4. Now, the Holy Spirit of God is holy. And one thing about the Holy Spirit of God is he doesn't like being in dirty vessels. Before I became pastor, I used to work downstairs in Children's Church. One thing I used to do, I used to use an illustration with them all the time. I had three glasses there. The first glass I held up was a clear glass. And I took some peanut butter and I rubbed it on the outside and inside of the glass, and I rolled it around in dirt and inside and out, and I thought, "Who wants to drink out of this glass?" And all the kids were like, "Yeah, that's disgusting." I said, "Right, it's filthy, inside and out." I said, that's like a lost sinner, amen. Filthy inside and out. Filthy on the inside and dirty immorally on the outside. I said, then I held up another glass. This was a solid glass. I said, "Who wants to drink out of this one? Look, it's nice and clean on the outside." And it was a beautiful clean. The only problem is I took more peanut butter, smeared it on the inside, and put dirt on the inside. "Who wants to drink out of this one?" "I'm like, I drink out of that one." I said, and I held them. "You still want to drink out of it?" "No." That's like the Christian. Clean on the outside, looking good, going to church, you know, driving to church with your wife. Church. Bless you, brother. Good to see you. Amen, sister. Praise God. Isn't God good? Amen. We'll finish this later. Yes, he is. Amen. This is all good. Now, you folks don't do that, but there's some heathens outside that door do that stuff, I've told. Amen. Oh. Fighting with your kids, I'm telling you, once we get home, I'm telling it's in my book, but I knocked on the door one time. I was trying to find an address, and couldn't find this address, and I woke up to the house. I think this is the house, and I hear fighting and screaming going on in the house. They're husband and wife. I mean, they're really going at it. I mean, bad. I said, "Well, you know, I got nothing else to do tonight," and husband comes up, "Yes?" I said, "Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Swakowski. I'm looking for so-and-so. Does she look, sweetheart?" "There's a pastor here. He's looking for my sweetheart." "That wasn't the word a few minutes ago, I heard." "So, there are a few other things going on." And she's like, "No, honey, I don't. Honey." Wow. Wow. I said, "Well, I'm trying to find her." I said, "Well, invite you guys to church. You're always welcome to come to church. I'd love to have you come down there and be a blessing to you." "Well, we're thinking about it. Sweetheart, you think we should?" "Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, we'll do." You know, I must have stupid on my forehead sometimes. It's just, and so it's just, okay. It's like, "God bless you, preacher. God bless you guys too." Walked away. Got to, wow, they didn't skip a beat in that house. Clean on the outside, filthy on the inside. My friend, the Holy Spirit of God is not moving into a dirty cup. You got unconfessed sin in your life. You got rebellion going on in your heart. You're disobeying the Word of God. You're doing things you shouldn't be doing. You're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. He's not going to give you power. He doesn't go into dirty vessels. He just won't. And then a third cup I always help is a nice, clean, crystal glass. Clear, inside, and out. Who wants to drink that? And they said, "What's wrong with that?" I said, "Nothing's wrong. It's just a pure, clean glass. We can all drink out of this one." My friend, we all need the power of God. We all need to have God's blessings on us. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. All right, Brother Jorge, can you see who's at the back door, please? You can sit down, sir. That's fine right there. Thank you. All right. In Acts chapter 4, And it says in verse number 23. Is that Liz? Is that yours? Okay. In verse number 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by thy mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus thou hast anointed both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined for to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Notice this. Grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. The signs and wonders may be done in the name of the child, name of the holy child Jesus. Notice that it says they prayed for boldness in verse 29. Verse 31. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now they're already saved, they're already sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, but what they needed, my friend, is the power of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, to give them the boldness to proclaim the word of God. And that, my friend, is what all of us need, is we need the power of God upon our lives. And the power of God comes upon those who are clean, emptied of self, and surrendered to God, and the need for doing the work that God has called us to do. Boldness, we all like boldness. Sometimes people got too much boldness and it turns into brashness, but we need boldness to proclaim the scriptures to people. Thus saith the Lord. That's wrong. That's sin. That's not right. That's wicked. This is what God says. This is the way of righteousness. This is how you get saved and proclaim the word of God with boldness. You want boldness, you have to ask God for it. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. God, fill me with power that I may have boldness to proclaim the word of God to people. Not just to condemn them to hell, but to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the end game in all of this. You don't want to win arguments just to win arguments. I won, and that person got crushed into a fine powder, and they'll never debate me ever again. No, my friend, the purpose of your witnessing is to win them to Christ and to silence them that will not be won to Christ. You must have power. And we want to do this in the spirit and power of Jesus Christ, who knew how to deal with men. You don't know how to deal with every single person. I don't, because I don't know what's in every person's heart. But the Holy Spirit of God knows what's in a person's heart. And when I'm dealing with a man or a woman, and I'm talking to them about Jesus Christ, I need to have him, and I'm always praying, Lord, help me to say this. Lord, give me the words to say. Show me what must be said, and help me say only that which must be said. And as I talk to this person, you'll do the work in their heart. You'll convict them of sin. You'll convince them of your truth and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It was D.L. Moody who was told by a woman in the church, Mr. Moody, will you go witness to my husband? And Mr. Moody said, yes. And a preacher can never say no, by the way. We want to say no, but we just can't say no. Yes, I'll go. And D.L. Moody was intimidated to go visit this man because this man was the president of one of the largest banks in Chicago. A highly intelligent man, a very powerful man, a very influential man. And D.L. Moody, just being a preacher who just had a sixth grade education, was intimidated to go speak to this man about Jesus Christ. But he prayed and asked God to help him and went down to the bank. And the banker was laughing and said, Mr. Moody, I know my wife sent you here to talk to me. Did she not? Laughing. And he said, yes, sir, she did. And, well, go ahead, Pastor Moody, what do you have to say? He said, all I'm going to say is when you're converted, please let me know. Yes, Mr. Moody, it'll never happen, but when I get converted, I'll let you know. Remember, when you get converted, that's a word we don't use too much in our language today. It's kind of it's a good word, though, by the way. When you get converted, you let me be the first to know. Yes, Mr. Moody, when I get converted, I'll be sure to let you be the first one to know. And Moody left. Not much witnessing. Not much talking. Kind of a silly little phrase. But he prayed and he asked God to help him. And the Holy Spirit of God began to work on that man's heart, and the Spirit of God began to burden that man's heart, and the Spirit of God began to convict that man of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. And guess what? That powerful, influential banker walked up to Mr. Moody one day and said, Mr. Moody, I want you to know something. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've been converted. My friend, it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Let's stand together for prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful this day for the Word of God. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. Lord, we need power. We need Holy Spirit.
Thank you for tuning into our live stream service. I pray that it was
filled with your truth and righteousness, that we may be vessels fit for the Master's use, clean inside and out. Help us this day. Bless this time and this hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into our live stream service. I pray that it was a blessing to you. I want to ask you a question. Are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? If your answer is no, maybe so, or I don't know, I want to tell you that the Bible tells us that we can be 100% sure. If we look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So firstly, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners, you and me both. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So secondly, the Bible tells us that the wages or the punishment of sin is eternal death, is eternal hell. Romans chapter, the same verse, Romans chapter 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So thirdly, the Bible tells us that salvation is, eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say that it's through being a good person or through good works. It's through Jesus Christ who paid the wages for our sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So lastly, the Bible tells us that we shall be saved. Thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that we might be saved, or God doesn't say, "I'll think about saving you." It says, "Thou shalt be saved." Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So it's that simple, my friend. So I pray that nobody that's watched this live stream service goes to sleep tonight without knowing their eternal destination, without knowing that they're 100% sure whether they're going to heaven or not. If you're still unsure, please feel free to reach out to us. God bless you.